Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, October 6, 2025. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening over Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab in the top right side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up on our scripture reading where we left off last week. We're in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, last chapter of the Luke. So, Luke chapter 24, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And he said unto them, O fools! And slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them, and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. The end of the Gospel of St. Luke.
Okay, Terry, do we have any questions to me?
Yeah, I got about four.
Let me open up the queue first. Hang on a second.
Terry, can I have a queue? It's a star 601
if you're on a phone, and should be a button there if you're on an app or browser. Eric, are you saying something?
Yes, thank you. I have a quick question, if both of you don't mind. It's a question sent to me. It says, do you know where any indictments against judges for denial of habeas corpus are on the NLA website?
Yeah, they should be found under federal court cases. You can go to on the blue bar far right side, and if you highlight federal court cases, you can come down and it probably is under action against the judiciary, maybe. No, that's not it. Hold on. Grand jury investigations. It's been a long time since I looked over this area. Probably let's look under grand jury and see what comes up there. Maybe under that. Federal court filings. Okay. Nope, that's not it. Let's take a look at action. No, that's YouTube. Let's look at action against the judiciary. I don't think it falls under here, but it could be. Okay, yeah, this is it here. Let's see. Habeas corpuses that we put through, and we did do quite a few indictments on the judges for denial of habeas corpus and felony, and also for denial of due process and felony rescue. Yep. So you can find all that information here on this page. Anything else on that, Eric?
That's it. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right, I guess Terry.
I have one here from the 29th, and it looks like it came in on the 29th early enough to be read, but I think I didn't have it ready last time. It's about the OPC and the Bar Association, the reality, and it makes a statement more than it asks a question, and it's pretty long, and I couldn't remember whether you had considered that or not. Oh.
No, I don't recall. If I did, if I do, when you start reading it, I'll let you know. But OPC, standing for?
The Arkansas Office of Professional Conduct, OPC, and the Bar Association, a system designed to protect lawyers from accountability and violate constitutional rights. Say what?
No, interesting, but go ahead.
The Arkansas Office of Professional Conduct, OPC, and the Arkansas Bar Association operate under the Arkansas Supreme Court, enforcing state rules on attorneys' ethics and professional behavior. While they claim to regulate legal practice to uphold justice, in reality, these entities serve as a shield for lawyers to escape accountability when they violate constitutional rights and engage in malicious prosecution. Both have been operating as a governing power while acting against our U.S. Constitution. They operate outside federal oversight and enable prosecutors, defense attorneys, and judges to collude against justice. The OPC is a state-controlled body, meaning it is regulated by the same judicial system that it is supposed to police. When attorneys, especially prosecutors and public defenders, violate citizens' constitutional rights, the OPC does not enforce accountability. They cover for them by refusing to investigate or issuing symbolic reprimands. Prosecutors who fabricate evidence, defense attorneys who deliberately sabotage your own clients, and judges who allow unconstitutional proceedings are never addressed, and all grievances are never acknowledged, as this would crumble the corrupt system that has allowed for many years, and the consequences upon the state would be of insurmountable proportions. Then he quotes 42 U.S.C. section 1983 allows for lawsuits against state actors who violate constitutional rights under color of law, but the prosecution, defense attorneys, and judges conspire to assure convictions are obtained to avoid being exposed for corruption and conspiracy in federal cases. Absolute prosecutorial immunity combined with a complicit bar association ensures that those who engage in unethical legal tactics to wrongfully convict, coerce plea deals, or suppress exculpatory evidence face no consequences. And then in parentheses, the Brady Commission has had no impact, close parentheses. Supremacy Clause, violation of Article 6, Clause 2. The U.S. Constitution is supreme law, but the Arkansas Supreme Court, through the OPC, functions as if state authority overrides federal law. The OPC operates without federal checks, meaning the legal system in Arkansas can violate constitutional rights with impunity while pretending to enforce, quote, professional conduct, unquote. No federal agency directly regulates state bar associations or state disciplinary commissions like the OPC. Public defenders and prosecutors often work together, not against each other, to force plea deals, conceal judicial misconduct, and deny jury trials. And in parentheses, June 10th, 2022, close parentheses, prosecutors who hide exculpatory evidence, Brady violations, face no disciplinary action from the Arkansas Bar Association nor the OPC. Open parentheses, Heather Patton, close parentheses. Violation of the Sixth Amendment. Defense attorneys routinely fail to provide competent legal representation, forcing defendants into unfair plea deals instead of engaging in the true practice of law, violating their rights. Open parentheses, Witt, comma, Rose, comma, and in close parentheses. The OPC does not take action against defense lawyers who fail their clients because doing so would expose the widespread collusion between prosecutors, judges, public defenders, and private attorneys. Okay, it continues. I've got about three, four more paragraphs here before it gets down to the bottom. Would you like me to continue?
Well, why don't you read the last one? Maybe there's a,
Okay. I'm looking for any question marks. Public defenders, private attorneys, and prosecutors conspire against defendants, coercing plea deals, allowing wrongful convictions. open parentheses, June 2022 incident, close parentheses. By operating outside of federal oversight, the OPC and the Barr administration effectively nullify constitutional protections in Arkansas courts. This is not legal oversight. This is a system of legal immunity for those in power. And then she signs her name. And that's it. The rest of the ones I did not read basically are just complaints and quoting the Federalist Papers and the OPC and the Barr.
Yeah, well, the problem is, and this is, you know, the most important thing that we're doing here in National Liberty Alliance is trying to restore the courts. The Constitution does not come to play in the courts at all. The Bill of Rights, of course, which is part of the Constitution, it's the capstone, it doesn't apply either. They ignore it. The Bar Association, it has a monopoly on, I hate to say the word justice because there is no justice in their courts, but they have a monopoly on our courts, I guess we'll say, total control. And they indeed are the minions of the New World Order. They've been operating in America here since 1750. The king sent swarms of bar attorneys in order to try to destroy our common law courts. And they succeeded at that. They actually succeeded quite well in those early years as we were coming into becoming a nation. A lot of courts already had been really destroyed and taken over. And of course, as the Bar Association was able to get together the American Bar Association, from that point forward, it really started to grow. And it's everywhere. All our courts are totally destroyed. There is no court of law anywhere that I have found in the whole system, no matter what state you go into. So it's a major problem. And the big problem, we're going to talk a little bit about this tonight, as a matter of fact. We're going to get into this. So maybe we'll take some other questions, and then we'll get into this subject matter that I want to bring up tonight, which, again, is an extremely important topic. And we need people's involvement with this. We need to get the word out so that people can come to a place like here, National Liberty Alliance, and start to really learn what's going on and what they can do about this problem. It takes the people to take this whole thing back. But I'll lay that aside for right now because we're going to get into that topic tonight. Okay, what questions do you have?
Okay, the others are much shorter. This is the longest of the three. John, in the event that your mental model regarding benevolent politicians and military personnel are found to be incorrect, what is your alternate plan of action? Would it so demoralize you to find the success that appeared so close and with so much apparent support to be instead non-existent, that you would abandon your effort, or what is your contingency for this? Additionally, how long until you are able to establish whether it's yet another public fraud or not? In that event, the discrepancies between our common law system and what those benevolent politicians and military are instead doing would presumably become self-evident to you long before they would to the average uninformed member of the public. The crowds would be cheering in the increasing oppression under the auspices of a national restoration, but you wouldn't be able to discern it. For how much longer will, single quote, I sent them the information, but they haven't acknowledged that they've read it yet, unquote, remain acceptable to you? Best.
All right, well, I have no plan on abandoning what we started. I'm absolutely convinced of certain things. I'm absolutely convinced that we're going to see world peace. Trump has been working on that. It's been pretty obvious for anybody listening or watching. a lot of people may feel that he's not going to be able to accomplish it to shut down all wars across the nation and actually across the world, and actually that nations start to actually trade with each other and, stop war. Ultimately, most wars, of course, were created by, particularly by us, not we the people per se, but the CIA particularly. The New World Order has been working and puppeting, the strings across the whole world, causing wars. They make money at war. They also get rid of a lot of people, particularly men, because that's who goes to war pretty much, are men. And of course, they've been working, to poison us in many different ways, our air, our water, our food. Thank God that Kennedy is in play and is starting to reveal a lot of these things. But Trump does have a plan, and I've been following that plan for quite some time. And anybody who has been following it closely, you can kind of get the whole picture. There's no doubt in my mind that he's going to succeed. I'm completely convinced of that. Our the biggest problem I see, I think Trump is going to make a lot of things great again. And it's not just Trump, it's his entire administration and many, 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 many other people working behind the scenes and with him, not to mention also all of the patriots out there that have gotten on to, blogs and different things here, just creating their own news programs on Rumble and on YouTube and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of things going on out there that's supporting this movement. But the big problem is the courts. And again, I'm going to address that shortly, and then I'm going to read something that we put together, and at some point we're going to really focus in on that particular problem. If we cannot save our courts, then America is lost. It doesn't matter how much we get good people into office to do the right thing and put things back together the way it should be as far as the economy is concerned, education, peace, and many, many, many things. It's just a whole list of things. But the hardest thing for these people to see is the courts, to understand who we are as a people, where we come from, what is our heritage. And again, I'm going to address that in a little while, so I'll set that aside. But I have no contingency plan. I do believe we're going to succeed. And we'll see where we go from there,
Okay.
Yep. Next question.
Hi, John. How can I go about linking my monthly donation through my checking account?
I don't think we have a way to do that. I'll look into that and see once whether we could put something up on the donation, because right now we're set up for people coming in with their debit or credit cards.
Right.
And of course, there's also people could mail in. And, we do appreciate those who are supporting us. We are on a sort of a shoestring budget, so to speak. Once in a while, we do get, someone who will give us $1,000 or something like that. We have a person occasionally gives us $500. And that's really, really helpful. It brings us back to catch up on our bills because we come very close sometimes in the end of the month, barely just making it through. If everyone would give $5 a month or more, we'd be doing very well. We have a large membership. I don't know how many people are really active or really listening. We do have people listening in on YouTube and Rumble, and of course coming to the meeting. And again, if everybody just gave $5 a month or more, it would really help us quite a bit.
There's a second part to this question. There's a second question to this email.
Okay.
They say, Brother Jeff Smiles needs your help. Would you be able to contact Jeff Smiles to help with what they are doing in Pennsylvania? And then they sign off. Thank you for all your sacrifices and support for all of us. We appreciate your dedication and love for our nation, freedom. We are praying for you and with you for the Lord to open the door for a common law court throughout every state. So would you be able to contact Jeff Smiles?
What they're doing?
No, it doesn't indicate.
Well, I have to tell you that I'm extremely busy. I spent quite a bit of time putting this paper together that we're going to be talking about tonight. And these kind of projects take a lot of time. And, of course, we are working. We're trying to develop committees of safety. You know, we'll work with anybody that wants maybe us to, you know, meet to maybe speak to groups. If they're close by, I can personally go. But if they're far, we can do, of course, something over the Internet and that type of thing. But I don't know what it is that they're working with. We have a lot of projects here. Maybe it's something that aligns with one of our projects, and that would be quite easy. But what I would say is for that person to contact me. Do they have contact information?
Yeah, I got an email address.
Okay.
I'll send it to you.
Send me a copy, of that.
Okay, no problem.
Fine.
You ready for the last one? It's
yep.
Short. It says, do you have a list of patriots in Hawaii?
Well, if you go under a directory and you just click on directory, actually, you should be able to come to a page where you can look up to see people within your state and also within your county. So if you come down to Hawaii, for instance, you click on your state here, Hawaii. Let's see if I can find it. Hawaii, there it is. Okay, in Hawaii, we have 131 members in Hawaii. There are five counties, and all those counties have been constituted. In other words, we've had people in those counties working to bring the message out of what we're doing. Right now, we only have the county of Honolulu, and there's a contact for that individual. You know, we used to have a lot of Hawaiians come to the meetings, and I know it's like really, I think it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning when they, working out from our time to their time. So we used to have some of those people coming to our meetings. There was a lot of activities, a lot of different things. And I think if you contacted this guy, Eli, in Honolulu, he might have contacts of other people in other counties. So, and hopefully we can get things going. You know, we have slowed down quite a bit with moving forward with committees of safety. I think mostly because people think that Trump is the savior and he's going to solve the problems and we can kick back and we don't have to defend the Constitution no more. We don't have to defend anything. We don't have to exercise our unalienable rights of government by consent. Because Trump's going to do it. And, nothing could be further from the truth. He can kind of give it back to us, but it's up to us to take it. You know, if you go into the Declaration of Independence, it's absolutely crystal clear that we have government by the consent of the people. The problem is people don't know how to consent to government. People don't know how to control government. People just don't know how to do these things that's necessary, which is an unalienable right. It's a right to have a control of your government. And, we need approximately, I know he's run his numbers. I don't know why I don't remember them. Let's say we've got about 3,000 counties, roughly speaking. And let's multiply that by 50, let's say. That's 150,000. We need 150,000 people to completely take back our government from the grassroots level. We teach people how to do that. We teach them how to create the committees of safety, how to take control of local government and your representatives that are in Washington, and working together with lots of different programs that we need to get going. We need to, we have educational programs right here at National Liberty Alliance for those people who join us. We've got lots of courses written many books. So people can learn a lot. We do want to get an education going into the schools, a proper education. We've kind of hinted to the Trump administration that we'd like to do that. As a matter of fact, we're hinting again in a paper that we've written, and we're going to look at that shortly. Again, you know, we have to get active, and if the people expect to be ignorant and free, as Thomas Jefferson said, they expect what never was and never will be. So you cannot have government by consent if you're not involved in consenting. You can't consent to your government if you don't know by what powers and authorities we gave them and what power and authorities you have in order to control them. So people don't know those things. It's been purposely hidden from us. A lot of people, I think, knew this in the beginning. Maybe not as much as many as we'd like to have had, but nevertheless, we have a nation that was created and reasonably successful, but we have lost our way. And we have to step up to take this thing back. And by the way, with that being said, I really need to get out. I used to do a lot of interviews. I haven't done interviews in quite some time. Anybody who can maybe find a connection, make a connection to podcasters or different individuals, different programs, news stations, anything. If you can get us contact information, a name and a number of someone we can call and talk to about being interviewed and sharing the things that we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance. So if anybody, I think everybody should look to try to do that. Okay. And get that information, if you find that information, the connection, get it to Jan, J-A-N, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Just be given briefly the information. It's a podcast or it's a news program, a radio station, whatever, contact name and phone number. And maybe even an email address. Maybe that's all we can get. We can do an email address. And get that to Jan. Jan will make the initial contact and then try to set things up and then make contact with me and we'll make arrangements. But this is how we need to get the word out. We got to get interviews. We got to get the word out to many places. The other thing is people should be bringing other people to our meetings here, to this open forum. Get them out to our website. Talk to them about a Monday night call. And again, if anybody, can't make this call because there's something else going on a Monday night or whatever the case may be for themselves, we do record this and you can go to our Rumble page, which you'll find on the right-hand side of our website. Just go to our Rumble page and you can catch up of the meetings, each meeting. Or right here under today's issues, you can click on NLA's Monday Open Forum videos. We also have them in audios. So we have video and audio. And you can then go through here and listen in on the Monday program that you couldn't make it to. But we have a lot of other things going on our Rumble page. We also have a Bible study that we do every Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. And if people can't join that, but they'd like to, but they can't join it for whatever reasons, they're working or whatever. That's also recorded on our Rumble page, so you can follow through. We've done an in-depth study on the Book of Revelation. We've done an in-depth study on, I think it was Matthew. We're doing John right now.
That was Matthew. And I want to say, John, that Milkmaid from California is here tonight. And it's good to see her. I talked to her earlier today, and she's here.
Okay. Yeah, I hear her from time to time with that, a cat or something?
With the what? Oh, yeah, with cows. Yeah. And the dogs. Yes.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, it's up to the people to get the word out. It's up to the people to save the nation. Trump cannot, he can bring it back to us and give it back to the people. But, it's only going to fall away again if we don't educate ourselves and our children. We have a duty to do this. And we must teach our children that they have a duty to do this also. So, okay.
John, I have one other question. There's a Jeff down here, and I'm wondering if that's Jeff Smiles. Can I unmute him for a second and see if it's him?
Go right ahead. And the queue is open for anybody who wants to get into the queue. Star 6 and a 1 if
Jeff,
you want to.
Are you the Jeff Smiles that I was reading about earlier?
Yes, I am. Well, I am.
There you go, John.
What's the subject matter that you wanted to discuss or look into?
I was taken to the hospital last June with a collapsed lung. And I spent 3 months in the hospital because the hospital punched a hole in my lung by accident with a chest tube. I was transferred to 4 different hospitals. And while I was in the hospital, they tax sold my property. They tax sold my house. And now they've got me involved in one of their Nisi Prius court ventures. And it's a bad situation because I can't walk. I'm on oxygen, three and a half liters. I've got a walker, and I've got home health aides coming, and these people are just destroying my life, my mind. That they're driving, it's just the most horrible thing I can imagine being done to another human being. I'm 70 years old, and I'm just at a point where I don't even know if we could pull this into federal court or what we should do with a situation like this. These people broke the law. They didn't provide proper notice. They just went ahead and tax sold my home. And I'm just about to lose it, John. Honest to God, it's just too much.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the problem is, as I'm sure you realize, is that the courts have closed down the courts of justice. They've been closed for quite some time. And we've been trying to break through, you know, trying to get some success. And it's difficult. But I will say that, you know, with the paper I'm going to read tonight, we're going to look into. I worked on this paper for quite some time now and put together, you know, this a lot of information, and for this particular presentment, going to President Trump, Attorney General Bondi, and FBI Director Cash Patel, and. And we copied quite a few people within the administration. So I'm going to read that tonight, and maybe that'll be somewhat helpful. But a couple of key things. A lawyer is not going to solve this problem for you. These bar attorneys are totally lost. And, again, we're going to be talking a little bit about that with this paper.
Yes.
And have you been studying the law or anything? Do you have any knowledge? Do you know how due process works? Do you know how the court systems are structured and how they work and how one might move from one point to another? You know, you start off in the lower courts, which was probably a town court that did this, right? Was it a town or a village court, or what kind of court?
No, this was the Court of Common Pleas.
Right. You're in Pennsylvania? Is that where you are?
Yes, I'm outside of Reading, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I'm not sure, again, what a Court of Common Pleas is. It sounds like it's potentially the state court. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. I am extremely surprised. I mean, that's really far gone. And I do know that Pennsylvania has some really major problems with their structure. And but, you know, here in New York, for instance, not even a county court would touch a foreclosure for tax or even for, you know, a mortgage or a foreclosure. And many other states are the same way. They put that down into the town courts or the village courts, city courts. So I'm really, well, with Pennsylvania, I'm not surprised. You know, Pennsylvania is one of the first places, I think, best that I can tell, that fell to chancery courts. You know, judges are chancellors. They call them chancellors. These chancellors have extreme amount of power, literally to the point of life and death for the individual. I don't know that they go that far without a jury, but even with the jury, they'll control that jury and stack that jury and get their conviction, whatever it is that they want to do. But that's where we're at. Courts have turned into chancery courts. Most of them hide it. But Pennsylvania, you know, they're right up there, and they just let it be known. You know?
Right.
So the best I could tell you is this. I would, you know, I do think things are going to happen really soon. When are we going to get to repairing and fixing the courts? How long is that going to take if we can accomplish that? And again, that's going to require the Trump administration to do this.
Right.
If they set the stage and get this going, then we can pick it up from there. I've been really trying to encourage people to study the law and really get involved. First of all, you should know the law anyway. You know, our heritage is in the law, and our inheritance is liberty. And if you don't know the law, you can't protect your liberty. You can't. There's a lot of liberty you have, and you don't even realize, and you wouldn't know unless you get into the law. And when that law is not something that's complex, you know, because it's not statutes, not regulations or anything of that nature. What it is, by the way, we have to open mics. Someone's got an open mic. Can you find out who the open mic is, Eric or Terry, and close it down?
Yeah, I'll keep looking.
Okay. Anyway, let me see. I lost my train of thought here.
I think it's Jeff. Jeff, do you got a radio going in the background?
I'm on a headset and a microphone.
So there is one. I'll just shut it off for the heck of it. Is that better?
Yeah, I'm not hearing it at the moment. So
yeah, that was it. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, so anyway, we have to get our thoughts back. And this is an uphill battle. I've tried to bring this to the attention of the administration on a few occasions, and I listen very carefully to their, you know, the words they speak, their verbiage, and looking for some kind of a telltale to that might flag to me that, hey, they are understanding this and they're looking into it. I've seen a lot of things that I know that gives us a lot of hope, but they really don't understand the problem. At least I don't think that they understand the problem. I mean, I could be wrong on that. Maybe it's something that is just not talking about it. But from their verbiage, the way they talk and still use the word democracy, it troubles me because that tells me that they really don't understand who we are as a people. And again, I'm going to get into the major problems and potentially how we may be able to solve these problems. It's going to take the administration to help us to get us into the court. But going back to people learning the law, you know, I've been really hopeful that more people would learn the law, take the course, take all our courses, but particularly take the course that we have up here, Court Access and the Common Law, right here. And this court course will teach you how due process works, how to put papers together to some degree, how to write papers, gets into a lot of the forms, the procedures, and so on. And it's a 90-hour course. And we give the first session one, right here for free. It's 3 hours. Each one of these videos are about 3 hours long. And of course, you know, you can always pause it and come back the next day or whatever you want to do. But the thing is you can listen to the first part of the course, the first 3 hours of the course, of a 90-hour course, and get kind of a flavor of what we're putting together and what we're doing. But people need to be able to go into a court themselves and take care of their own business, because as soon as you hire a lawyer, you're already being burnt. I mean, they're just taking your money. They're not interested in your case. They're interested in the almighty dollar. That's what they're interested in. They're all greedy, and they've been trained to be greedy, you know. I mean, look, for goodness sake, take a third of your monies if they handle a case for you. You know, that's quite a bit of money, depending, you know, if you're going after something big anyway. But anyway, I was hoping, and I still hope, that we get enough people so that if we can get things taken care of on a federal level, and that's what we're trying to work with the administration, the Trump administration is on a federal level. If we can take back the federal courts, it's a slam dunk to take back the state courts. We can take them all back. But one person's going to take a lifetime plus to take them back. We need people in every state that can get involved and assist and work with us, you know, because we need to open up a courts of record in every one of these states and sue for our courts of justice to be open. And that's what we need to do in order to get justice. So potentially speaking, justice, it may be worthwhile filing for justice maybe next, coming into the next spring or summer. I kind of think or hope that there's going to be a lot of changes, a lot of people in jail. and a lot of things going on between now and then. We can already see it starting, you know. We already started the first arrest with Comey, but there's a lot coming down the pike, and it's going to come up like a flood. And he's working now, for ultimately for subversion, to deal with people who are subversive, you know. And so I think a lot's going to happen. He also is talking about next 4th of July to be a real big one. So I think he's planning on having a lot accomplished by then. So if we have a courts of justice opening up by that time period, that's when we'd be filing. To file right now, you're really not going to get anywhere. But you still have to have knowledge. I mean, I can assist you to some sure. degree, but you have to be able to run the case yourself. Are you married? Do you have a spouse?
No, unfortunately, I don't. I'm quite alone, John, and what these people are doing is absolutely criminal. I got a letter from the Tax Claim Bureau last Thursday. They tell me that they're waiting for the confirmation of sale, and then I've got 30 days to file objections or exceptions to this this fraud that they're pulling here. And
I would file a counterclaim against them for denial of due process.
Yes.
Because did they know that you were ill and in the hospital and
yes, they did. I had a power of attorney.
That's the case I would make.
Okay.
Okay. That you can do right now and kind of get them kind of stuck in a dilemma. You know, when they try to do foreclosures, usually mortgage foreclosures sometimes, particularly mortgage foreclosures, you know, we can really stall them for years, okay? Tax foreclosures, not so much, but mortgage foreclosures is different. But, yeah, I would go after them. And do you know how to write papers at all?
I've written some papers. I did try to sue the county going back a few years ago in federal court.
Due process. Make your case. Get an affidavit. Make your case. An affidavit as specific as you can. Then detail your case shortly on the paper itself, referring to your affidavit, but covering the key points, and going after them or suing them for denial of due process. And I'd have to think about something. Well, again, because this is all it's tax foreclosures, so it's all government. You can go after them definitely for denial of due process. But I think you can do more than that, take an advantage. I'm not sure exactly how that would be. In our course, we cover a lot of potential different things that you would be able to sue in court for. And we go through the what's required that you have to prove in order to go after a case for this or that. So you'd have to read through those things. And again, you can get that in the course. Let's see, if you go in here, I'll open up a page that's a private page. Anybody who gets into the course gets this page, and it's the table of contents. Let me see if I can quickly find something particularly that you really want to focus in on. Decisions code, let's see. Pleadings, okay, probably in pleadings you definitely want to go through that really deeply. And causes of actions, okay? Causes of actions is what you really want to look into. And you'll see a lot of different causes of actions and what's required to prove those causes of actions. And you might be able to pick different causes of action that you can go after these people for. But definitely do a countersuit. Open up a court of record. Do you know how to open up a court of record?
I've never done that before, so I'm a little
It's only a few words and making the point that you can go through the pleadings, for instance, right here, pleadings opening a court of record, and that'll show you. It's not much to it. It's really just making certain statements. So anyway, if I were you, what I would suggest is start educating yourself, getting yourself together, do what you can with paperwork to file it right now, and make the point very clearly that they took advantage of you. How long were you in the hospital for?
Almost 3 months.
Okay, so make the point that during that time period is when they just came in and they haven't had any consideration. And,
no, absolutely not. It's the intentional infliction of emotional distress. That's another
absolutely
action on that. And it's not
Start working on that, and then And then, you know, maybe we can talk some more at another time. I do want to get into the program for tonight, but maybe we can talk. But education is the key. Anybody who doesn't educate themselves doesn't realize that they're not going to understand, how to have government by consent. They're not going to understand when the government is violating the law doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And that is the problem. People have no clue. I mean, believe me, the government's totally out of control. And people are seeing the problems from one particular standpoint. But the details of the problems, they're totally unaware of, what they've done to accomplish the goals of destruction upon America. So,
Just one last question. Is Eric still with National Liberty Alliance?
Yeah, Eric's there right now.
Oh, Eric, we've been trying to get hold of you for a long time on the prayer group. I just wanted to mention that to you if you're listening. And if you could help me out and just check my writing for this case, that would really be great. Or if John can, that would be a great help.
Put something together and let's talk in a week or two or whatever. As soon as you got to get the papers right away, and I'll give you my thoughts on the paper. But with that, I got to get to our programming. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Okay. I've been working on this for a while. I've been wanting to do this for a while. We did accumulate enough money to be able to do this. One person always pulls us out of the hole. I really appreciate it. And this past time, they came up with $1,000, and it really has brought us to be able to do this case, to get all the paperwork out and file this with these people. So we're going to look at that tonight. Let's see, I don't know that I'm going to give much of an introduction to it, because we're going to read that introduction to it in here. Ultimately, it's quite a big case, but the extraordinary presentment, which lays out what we're trying to do and focus in on particular cases, is only about 8 pages, and that's what we're going to read tonight. And we will be posting this with a lot of paperwork that we put together. Goodness, I don't even know how many pages it is, but we'll be posting this on our front page. So by next week or next day or two, I should have it up on the internet. But let's just read this again. This is an extraordinary presentment. And there, we do have a cover sheet for this, but it is going in to President Donald J. Trump, the Attorney General Pam Bondi, and FBI Director Kash Patel. And it starts off with, comes now the constituted unified United States common law grand jury. Here and after, we the people, for an unprecedented presentment to President Donald J. Trump, Attorney General Pam Bondi, and FBI Director Kash Patel. Mark Twain said, "It ain't what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so." This presentment was initiated by what we believe was an unwittingly repugnant act by FBI Director Kash Patel. Whereas in July 2025, at a ceremony at the FBI agency headquarters in Washington, D.C., where Director Kash Patel presented the Bureau Shield of Bravery and honorary medals to the hostage rescue team. These are agents who assassinated Lavoy Finnegan and attempted to kill 3 others, one of which was a child. Take note, there were no hostages. Okay, so this was a hostage team trying to save hostage, and that in itself is a lie. Anyway, give me 1 second. Okay, Director Patel, in a post on X, described the medals as among the highest award for FBI members, reserved for nominees recognized for acts of bravery. They were cowards, heroism, and valor in the service of our country, and they were serving the New World Order. The award also honored FBI agents whose action that day later prompted the U.S. Department of Justice Inspector General to recommend that the FBI update its policies to stop agents from removing evidence from the crime scenes They do this all the time. Unfortunately, FBI Director Kash Patel accepted the agency's fabrication of events and unwittingly lifted up murders as heroes. What are the agents that have a conscience, see the truth, and are unable to speak out because they and their families will be put in jeopardy, ought to think. Nevertheless, some law enforcers have spoken up, but they went up unheard.
John, stand by. Murder, where you got murders?
Yep.
That should be murderers. You should have an extra ER.
Yeah, this is good for me to read this out loud because that gives me a chance to see our problems. Okay, let's go back here. I'm trying to find it.
Right there. You're in the right line.
Murderers?
Yeah, murderers.
So another ER maybe?
Right, another ER.
Okay, as heroes. All right.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, so we'll make the corrections as we go. I haven't sent this out yet. I'm planning on sending it out tomorrow morning, so if we can find any corrections as we go through this, that'd be good. Okay. Let's go back here to, nevertheless, some law enforcers have spoken up, but they went unheard. But we, the people, heard them and have documented them in our evidence. See the attached thumb drive. It's time that the MAGA administration hear them. Now, the thumb drive is 8 megabytes, and it's full all the way. You know, couldn't add another thing in there. So we've got a lot of evidence, tremendous amount of evidence. Moreover, the FBI that assumed the role of the lead federal law enforcement agency in the investigation of the incident involving former President Donald Trump that occurred on July 13, 2024 in Butler, Pennsylvania, the FBI again, in defiance, did not yield to the U.S. Department of Justice, the Inspector General's recommendation not to remove evidence from the crime scene. Now, I posted a YouTube for this, and it's pretty damning for these people. I mean, the day that they killed, that they shot this potential assassin, they were up there with a hose cleaning. And people should go out and take a look at this particular particular page and go through this. It's very powerful. This is also true of the Charlie Kirk investigation. Even though the FBI has honorable leadership through Director Kash Patel at the top, it is clear to us that we cannot trust the FBI, the Department of Justice, and the judiciary. We see them as the enemy of justice. We, the people, would like to acknowledge that we believe President Trump's cabinet appointments, including Director Kash Patel, are honest patriots with an earnest desire to return the United States back to its roots. We believe, like all federal agencies as well as the states, that Leviathan's tentacles have permeated deep into the FBI, Department of Justice, and the judiciary, and therefore cannot be trusted. As for the Charlie Clark assassination, Tyler Robinson could not have shot Charlie. See Charlie Kirk's assassination forensic evidence video on the attached thumb drive, and the follow-up video at, I couldn't fit this video on, so we gave him the YouTube, same thing with the other one, that we could not fit on the 8 gigabyte thumb drive, that shows the likely shooter on a different route that killed Charlie. You know, nobody else has brought this up. They have a video of another person on a roof, and I'm not going to get into that. You can go watch that video. It's pretty powerful and damning. Okay. That shows the likely shooter on a different route that killed Charlie, whereas the angle of the shot from that individual on the roof that no one is talking about aligns with the pathology report, whereas Robinson's alleged shot, which he didn't make a shot at all, does not line up with the pathology report. This is not to say that Robinson was not involved somehow. The prosecutor, Chad Ganeda, said on Monday, 9/22/25, there was a voluminous amount of discovery material in the case, claiming Robinson as the shooter, continues with the assumption that Robinson was the lone gunman. And on that note, it suggests that the FBI is either narrowly minded and totally incompetent, or they are in on the cover-up. These are the only two options. And by the way, they should have known this right away. On the ballistics of that bullet, should have told them right away that was not the gun that shot Charlie. As for the assassination of LaFoy Finnegan, we the people have investigated and collected a myriad of evidence, 92 documents, 27 audios, and 60 videos on the attached 8-gigabyte thumb drive that without a shadow of a doubt demonstrates conspiracy, intent, motive, and identifies and the identities of the perpetrators, none of which have been charged with murder, but instead some have been honored as heroes. Whereas the video titled LaFoy Assassination Forensic Evidence, found on the attached thumb drive and can also be found at this Rumble page, this video standing alone is more than enough evidence to convict and warrant the death penalty. So those videos could be seen. I'm going to try to get the entire thumb drive up on the web so that people can look at all the evidence if they want. A lot of the evidence we already have, so I'll just restructure it. That's already up on the website. Our founding fathers intended that the United States was to be a nation of law, but we indeed have lost our way to sociopathic tyrants and corporatism. Our Heavenly Father tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. You can make America economically strong again. You can make America militarily strong again. You can make America healthy again. You can make America respected again. You can make America free again, etc. But if you don't make America just again, it's all to no avail, for it will be short-lived, and without any blessings from our Creator, America will never be great again, unless we restore the natural law republic that our founding fathers gave their lives for their posterity. The American mindset has been enslaved to believe what just ain't so. The deception is so entrenched that the truth is rejected immediately without any consideration. We will endeavor to break the spell. But if we fail to break through the strong delusion so deeply engrafted in our representatives' minds, America will be lost forever. We must fill political vacancies with statesmen who know the law of the land and that acknowledge and respect the people's unalienable right of government by consent. The problem is that people and our representatives don't know how to have government by consent. Therein the reason that we gifted the entire Trump administration and other government servants with the book, Government by Consent. But if it sits on a shelf and collects dust, then there is no hope. We must require that before we support anyone to fill any political vacancy, we must quiz them on our founding documents and government by consent. We must also require that they do the same to any appointments they have the authority to appoint. We must also require that any person employed by the government also be instructed in the same. We also must provide a proper education for our children, and for they are our future. Any school that receives federal funding must provide a proper education. Thomas Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. National Liberty Alliance already provides such an education and is qualified to write textbooks for K through 12, if commissioned to do so. Common sense informs us that if we the people do not know the law, how can we know if our representatives know the law? And how can we know when our rights are being violated or legislated away? Now for the hard part, that every bar attorney we have communicated with chokes at, and we are met immediately with raised eyebrows and a refusal to consider history's alternative to the lies they have been indoctrinated into. After all, lawyers spend a lot of money and time to be educated in what they believe is the law, and we cannot get past this hurdle with judges, lawyers, and elected individuals, many of which are lawyers, if we cannot get through that, okay, then there is no hope for America. Whereas God tells us that correction is grievous unto them that forsake the way, Proverbs 15:10. The first thing that must be understood is that our heritage is in the law, and that our inheritance is liberty. If we rely on lawyers to tell us what the law is and what rights we have, we place ourselves in jeopardy. For God tells us that the heart is deceitfully above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? Jeremiah 17:9. And that lawyers have taken away the key of knowledge, Luke 11:52. While it is true that most lawyers have fallen prey to this evil through greed and pride, a remnant of lawyers have found the truth and do their best to walk the straight path. What makes it evil is that they think to change laws, Daniel 7:25. Nevertheless, lawyers have their place in equity, which is positive law, also known as legislative law. But in criminal prosecutions, Amendment 6 provides for the right to trial by a free and independent jury and to have assistance of counsel for his defense. We did not say representation by counsel. We said in the Constitution, in the Bill of Rights, assistance of counsel. And in suits of common law trial by jury protected under Amendment 7, our liberties are too important to completely entrust them in others. We should know for ourselves and be fully informed. Take note that it was we the people that ordained as kings the Constitution with its capstone Bill of Rights. We did not ask permission. We just took power and authority, an unalienable right given to us by God. We placed ourselves under God's law, not man's repugnant civil or criminal laws and rules. Therefore, God is king of our court, where the jury is the king's bench, and is to decide the facts, the law, and the penalty with an iron restitution as they follow the laws that God written in their hearts and his word. The jury's responsibility is to deliver justice, not uphold the law. We are not to be judged by servant judges, but by free and independent jury of our peers. Servant judges judge government agents and those operating under interstate commercial activities via equity, which again is positive law, also known as legislative law, that is to be subjected and guided by the rules of common law. We empowered legislators to write said positive laws. We did not give legislators the authority to give further powers to the judiciary to write repugnant rules that they claim combined law and equity under Rule 2 and call it civil or criminal law, therein the changing of law, and thereby shutting the doors of justice. This was accomplished under the 1934 Rules Enabling Act, where Congress, without the authority of we the people, gave additional power to the judiciary to write rules as law to abolish the people's right to serve writs and the law of the land by combining law and equity. And then the judiciary empowered Congress and the state legislators to legislate civil and criminal law. We the people ordained the Declaration of Independence, being a covenant with the Creator, where we prayed to be under his law and thereby under his blessings via unalienable rights, where we, by God's mercy, made clear that to serve these rights, governments are, to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. It is upon this document, which the Constitution, that we, the sovereign people, sovereign lawmakers, ordained and established, rest, placing we, the people, under the laws of nature and of nature's God, also known as natural law or common law, and the government under our written law, also known as the Constitution. Whereas at the conventions of a number of the states having at the time of their adopting the Constitution expressed the desire in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its power that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added. And as extending the grounds of public confidence in the government will best ensure the beneficent ends of its institution, thereby establishing and ordaining the Bill of Rights. The bar teaches lawyers that we are under civil law derived from Roman law, which is the legal system of ancient Rome and legal development spanning over 1,000 years of jurisprudence, from the Law of 12 Tables to the Corpus Juris Civilis, which is a body of civil law, AD 529, ordered by Eastern Roman Empire Justinian I, which traces its roots to Babylonian law. It is also sometimes referred to as the Code of Justinian, although this name belongs more properly to the part titled Codex Justinianus, whereas civil law, and Roman civil law, and by the way, lawyers believe that we are under Roman civil law. So, whereas civil law, and Roman civil law are convertible phrases, meaning the same system of jurisprudence, that rule of action which every particular nation, commonwealth, or city has established, particularly peculiarly for itself, more properly called municipality law, to distinguish it from the law of nature and from international law. See Boyer, Mod, Civil Law, in Civer versus Riley. Lawyers are also taught and believe that common law is judicial comedy, whereas there is a profound difference between common law and comedy, the former being the law of the land, the latter being the law of trial judges, that is claimed by all bar-taught lawyers to be the common law. They do not defend and uphold our founding documents ordained by we the people. They uphold civil law and the rules of the law of the court above all things. Federal officials' special status results not from federal statutes, but from national customary law derived by judicial comedy, and not common law, as distinguished from the common law of England. It is the nation's judges who have over time unlawfully made it harder for victims of government wrongdoings to hold the government accountable, rather than easier. Judges have fashioned sweeping doctrines of immunity that insulate federal and state officials from facing any liability. Under these doctrines, victims of government wrongdoing cannot recover damages from government officials unless they can point to some prior case that has found the government conduct unlawful, and even then, it would be denied. But you're not going to find a case because they're not going to report that. Prior to the 1934 Rules Enabling Act, under the common law system of government accountability, government officials, including federal officials, were routinely subject to damages, liability in federal courts when they violated federal law. Judges' role in this system was fashioned remedies to enforce the Constitution and other federal laws. The Constitution ensured that the United States was a government of laws and not of men through this tradition of suits for damages of abuse of power or abuse of power. Damages liability kept the government within the bounds of the law, and judges made sure that damages liabilities remained available. Common law is distinguished from the Roman law, the modern civil law, the canon law, and other systems. The common law is that body of law and theory which was originated, developed, and formulated and is administrated in England and has obtained among most of the states and the people of Anglo-Saxon stock, as distinguished from the law created by the enactment of legislatures. The common law comprises the body of those principles and rules of actions relating to the government and security of persons and property, which derive their authority solely from usage and customs of immemorial antiquity, or from the judgment and decrees of the courts recognized affirming and enforcing such usage and customs. And in this sense, particularly, the ancient unwritten law of England, as distinguished from equity law, it is a body of rules and principles, written or unwritten, which are of fixed and immutable authority, and which must be applied to controversies rigorously and in their entirety, and cannot be modified to suit the peculiarities of a specific case or colored by any judicial discretion, and which rests confessably upon custom or statute, as distinguished from any claim to ethical superiority, as distinguished from ecclesiastical law. It is a system of jurisprudence administered by purely secular tribunals, that's the jury, as concerns its forces and authority in the United States. The phrase designates that portion of the common law of England which had been adopted and was in force here at the time of the Revolution. This so far, as it has not since been expressly abrogated, is recognized as an organic part of the jurisprudence of most of the United States. Now let me put this in a nutshell, all that we read here, because common law is really not that complex. Common law simply is common sense with an eye on justice. That's all it is. And it's made up in the hearts and the minds of the people as they listen to a case and they look at the facts and they apply their common sense and they recognize the damages or the injuries. And being an individual or one of the peers, they understand the damages done and what needs to be done in order to restore that individual. You know, juries should not only decide the facts and the law, which the law, again, is natural law, common law, but also to decide whatever the decision of the penalty might be. Not necessarily with jail in mind, but with restitution of the individual that was injured. So common law is not complex at all. So again, it's built up of maxims. So a maxim is a truth that cannot be denied. A simple point is that water cannot run uphill. That's a maxim. That's a fact. No one can argue it. All men are created equal. That's a maxim. That's a fact. No one can argue that. You know, we may not be equal in many different ways, abilities, knowledge, wisdom, or whatever, but we are equal before God in our soul existence. All men are created equal. Okay, 16th. So anyway, common law is not difficult, and so it's not something that you have to learn. The only thing you have to do is recover your common sense, because we have seemed to have lost our common sense. We let so many things go by that common sense should be yelling out to us saying, no, this is not right. Okay. 16 American Jurisprudence, Second Edition, Section 114 states, as to the construction with reference to the common law, an important canon of construction is that constitutions must be construed to reference to the common law. In interpreting the federal constitution, recourse may still be had to the aid of common law of England. It has been said that without reference to the common law, the language of the federal constitution could not be understood. There is no common law of the United States in the sense of a national customary law, which brings us back to comedy, as distinguished from the common law of England. And comedy really is we're going to get, I think, a little more into that, but it's really just trial court decisions that they bring up as if that has something to do with our case. It has nothing to do with it. The principles in accordance with which the courts of one state or jurisdiction will give effect to the law, laws, and judicial decisions of another, not as a matter of obligation, but out of complacence. Let me just run that and see how that really is.
Complacence
and respect. There is no statute or common law rule by which one court is bound to abide by the decision of another court of equal rank. It does so simply for what may be called comedy among judges. There is no common law or statutory rule to oblige a court to bow to its own decisions. It does so on the grounds of judicial comedy. Of such a use of the word, however, Dicey says, and that's a Supreme Court judge from way back, the term comedy is open to the charge of implying that the judge, when he applies foreign law to a particular case, does so as a matter of caprice or favor. Comedy is not a rule of law, but one of practice of convenience and expediency. It is something more than mere courtesy, which implies only deference to the opinion of others, since it has substantial value in securing uniformity of decisions and discouraging repeated litigation of the same question. But its obligation is not imperative. Comity persuades, but it does not command. It declares not how a case shall be decided, but how it may be propriety be decided. Therefore, case law is foreign law, a fabrication of law by its own decisions. It is not rule of law. It is a practice of convenience, expediency, and favor to maintain the status quo and to lose up to justice. Every case must depend on its own facts. Reason and common law does not honor case practice. Authority for deciding cases involving identity.
Tom, you're roboting.
You are roboting. We're only getting about every other word or third word.
Okay, well, hopefully people can be okay too fast.
I can't understand what you're saying. Nope, I can't.
I don't know what we may do with that.
Well, I would hope maybe somebody, maybe it's me. That's possible.
Yes. How am I sounding to you?
I messed up
for a minute or two.
Say it again?
I can't hear as well.
Okay, let me just try one other person. Kathy, Minnesota, I muted you. Can you, break up to you or two words?
You're still verbal. Just...
Yeah, it sounded bad to me. All right, what I'm going to do, I'm going to pause the record for right now. I'm going to bail out and come back in. Okay, so let me pause this. Okay, so let's pick up to move back. This case of law is foreign law, a fabrication of law by its own decisions. It is not a rule of law. It is a practice of convenience, expediency, favor to maintain the status quo and pollute our court of justice. Every case must stand on its own facts, and for that reason alone, common law does not honor case precedent that claims authority for deciding subsequent cases involving identical or similar facts or similar legal issues. Case precedence is repugnant to the common law, where the rule of common law states a thing similar is not necessarily the same thing. Case law lacks due process, and like Rule 2, is strictly forbidden under U.S.C. 28, subsection 2072B, thereby having no force or effect. It's repugnant. This is magnified in the U.S. Supreme Court case Mulberry versus Madison, where we read, "It is a proposition too plain to be contested that the Constitution controls any legislative act or rule repugnant to it, or that legislature or Supreme Court may alter the Constitution by an ordinary act. Certainly all those who have framed written constitutions contemplate them as forming the fundamental and paramount law of the nation, and consequently the theory of every such government must be that an act of legislation or rule repugnant to the Constitution is void." And this theory is essentially attached to written constitutions, and it is consequently to be considered by this court as one of the fundamental principles of our society. It is not therefore to be lost sight of in further considerations of this subject. If an act of legislation or Supreme Court repugnant to the Constitution is void, does it, notwithstanding its invalidity, bind the courts and oblige them to give it effect? Or, in other words, though it be not law, as a constituted rule, as operative as if it was a law. This would be to overthrow, in fact, that what was established in theory and would seem, at first view, an absurdity too gross to be insisted on. It shall, however, receive a more attentive consideration. It is empathetically the providence of and duty of the judicial department to say what the law is. Those who apply the rule to a particular case must of necessity expound and interpret that rule. If two laws conflict with each other, the court must decide on the operation of each. So if a law be in opposition to the Constitution, if both the law and the Constitution apply to a particular case, so that the court must either decide that case conformably to the law, disregarding the Constitution, or conformably to the Constitution, disregarding the law, the court must determine which of these conflicting rules governs the case. This is the very essence of judicial duty. If then the courts are to regard the Constitution, and the Constitution is superior to any ordinary act of the legislature, the Constitution and not such ordinary act must govern the case, and to which they both apply. Those then who controvert the principles that the Constitution is to be considered in court as a paramount law are reduced to the necessity of maintaining that courts must close their eyes on the Constitution and see only the law. This doctrine would subvert the very foundation of all written constitutions. It would declare that an act which, according to the principles and theory of our government, is entirely void, is yet in practice completely obligatory. It would declare that if the legislation is in reality effectual, it would be given to the legislature a practical and real omnipotence with the same breath which professes to restrict their powers within narrow limits. It is prescribing limits and declaring that those limits may be passed at pleasure.
John, would you like to share your screen?
Oh, it's not being shared?
No, sir.
Okay. I guess I didn't think about that when I came back in. Hang on. Just up. Yeah. Continue. Okay. Should be coming through now.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. I'll step back a little bit. It would be given to the legislature a practical and real omnipotence with the same breath which professes to restrict their powers within narrow limits. It is prescribing limits and declaring that those limits may be passed at pleasure, that it thus reduces to nothing what we have deemed the greatest improvement on political institutions, a written constitution. Would of itself be sufficient in America, where written constitutions have been viewed with so much reverence. For rejecting the Constitution, but the particular expressions of the Constitution of the United States, furnish additional arguments in favor of its rejection. Thus, the particular phraseology of the Constitution of the United States confirms and strengthens the principles supposed to be essential to all written constitution, that a law repugnant to the Constitution is void, and that courts as well as other departments are bound by that instrument. The government of the United States has been emphatically termed a government of laws and not of men. It will certainly cease to deserve this high appellation if the laws furnish no remedy but the violation of a vested legal right. In conclusion, the facts of the matter are that our courts of justice are to rest upon the laws of nature and of nature's God, that we declare in the declared in the Declaration of Independence, and ordained in Article 6, Clause 2, as the law of the land. Comity is repugnant to the law of the land and banned from our courts. The federal rules of civil and criminal procedures are repugnant to the law of the land, and without authority, and therefore the rules of common law must be restored in both law and equity. The article of Amendment 13, ratified in 1819 and removed in 1876, must be restored. Its removal was unlawful. Amendment 16 is in contradiction to Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3, and is repugnant to the common law and is therefore null and void. Amendment 17 is in contradiction to Article 5, depriving the Senate its equal suffrage, thereby destroying the balance of power. Habeas corpus must be restored. We, the people, demand that all three branches of government secure the blessings of liberty and the federal judiciary step aside and open the doors of justice in our courts that have been closed for so long. And it's dated for today, it should be going out tomorrow. Okay, now there's a lot of attachments to this. I will be posting this on the front page, and we'll see about attaching a lot of the attachments. We'll see what we do about working that out, because it is quite a lot. It's 8 gigabytes of information. So, okay, I guess that brings us to the end of that paper. And we'll open up for conversation if anybody has any questions, thoughts, or maybe some corrections that could be offered concerning this paper, or whatever it is that they want to discuss. So let's take our first person in question. Let me take John. John Cooksman, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
It makes sense. It makes sense. It's lawful. What are we going to do when they ignore it, John?
Well, look, we've been trying to educate these people for quite some time. They're on the right track. They're doing the right thing. It's just that they don't. The problem is there's too many lawyers around these people. Lawyers don't want to hear this. As soon as I have a conversation with a lawyer and start to talk about common law, they bring up comedy, and they don't budge from this. Really, if they'd only listen for a little while to see the contradiction. Contradiction is very easy to see. The bottom line is they claim that common law is trial court decisions brought up into the case, that that's common law. That's what they claim, okay? But the bottom line, first of all, there were no trial court decisions applied anywhere, when we became a nation to begin with. The Declaration of Independence doesn't say that we're under the common law that is the decision of trial courts. It says we're under the laws of nature and of nature's God, and that is common law. And certainly, these decisions in their courts is not God-breathed. So really, if they just listen to that one point, it's a contradiction of their entire education and a reconsideration. The other big thing is that they keep connecting us to Rome. And it connected us to Roman law. And clearly what we had read in this paper, which is not my words, these are Supreme Court statements about what Roman law is, and that it is contrary to common law. It has no connection to it. Roman law is legislative law. Law, L-A-W, in Black's law and Bouvier's law is defined as common law, as natural law. The laws of nature and of nature's God, okay? We are not fashioned as a nation under Rome. It may look like we are with the structures we have and that kind of thing, but it has nothing to do with that, okay? We are fashioned under Israel. We are fashioned under the Bible. That's where this nation comes from. And it is quite clear in two things, and I'll let you talk. The two things were asked of Jefferson and of Benjamin Franklin to find, develop a seal for the nation. And this says it all right here. They both came back with focusing in on Exodus. One of them posed a seal with Moses holding up the staff, the Red Sea parting, and Israel going through the Red Sea. The other came up with the idea of the fire, the pillars of fire that God put between Egyptians and the Israelis, put that pillars of fire to prevent them from being overtaken and protected Israel that way. So those two proposals of seals alone defines who we are. And I also did a memorandum of law, which is many, many pages long, which clearly lays out who we are as a people, and that we're one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. But back to you, John.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with anything that you're saying there. Where is our enforcement right here? They have ignored us consistently for, 15 years you've been working on this? I'm not being negative on this. I'm just saying, where is our enforcement? Because they will ignore this like they've ignored everything, and it's just disgusting, and they're truly treasonous. There's no doubt about it, they're treasonous. There's a whole bunch of treason going on up there. What can we do when they ignore this like they've ignored the last five? I'm frustrated. I'm really frustrated to see the work that you're doing on this thing, and I know you're right, and you know you're right, and they know you're right, but they're not doing anything. What can we do?
I think a lot of the problems with the Trump administration is they kind of fall away when you start to correct them, the lawyers. Because unfortunately, you know, Trump depends a lot on lawyers, and rightfully so. You know, in his business and also as president, he has to depend upon lawyers because they're able to go in to see the legislators written about his powers and authorities, what he can do, what is lawful. And that requires a special education. You know, that in itself for the presidency, I believe, is about 1,000 or over 1,000 pages. So it's a huge amount of information concerning the power and the authorities of the president. So he must rely on that. But he must understand, and this is what I'm trying to wake up in the mind of Trump particularly, but also in others. Unfortunately, most of the others are lawyers, and they're thick-headed. They just, it's hard to get through to them. You know, they're just not hearing. But if we can get through to one or two people and they realize the power and the authority that we're talking about and the rightful, powers and authorities of the people, the right of to have government by consent and the difference between law and equity and the fact that a court of law is to run by the people and no judge is permitted. There is a magistrate in there which seals the decision and tries to keep things going as a traffic cop, but they can't make any summary judgments. They can't deny evidence from coming in or anything of that. Although this is what they do. Judges get involved and they stick their fingers in everything. They control the jury, they control the law, they define the law, and it just goes on and on. The individual that is fighting for their lives is up against nothing but a whole army of lawyers. The prosecutor is a lawyer. The judge is a lawyer. And even the person representing them, they're a lawyer. And they're all run into the bar. They all believe the lie that we're under, civil law through Rome. They know nothing about the Rules Enabling Act. They know nothing about history and how we got to where we're at. They don't know who we are as a people. They don't know what our heritage is. They don't know that we're under the laws of nature and of nature's God. They don't know the Constitution. Being lawyers, they don't know the Constitution. Okay, and this is what we're up against. But by God's mercy, they'll be woken up, and we'll see what happens. We can only do the best we can, we just have to wake up a few people. And when those people wake up, they will be dogmatic because they will see the truth, and they have to stand up for the truth. Because I believe that's the kind of people that's in this administration.
I will say, I heard Pete Hegseth talk about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. He spoke at a place I was at, and he was sharp. And he was sharp, and I was very impressed when I turned it back into the Department of War. And after he told me, he said, no more dudes walking around in skirts, okay? I mean, he was very straightforward. If you don't agree with it, do the righteous thing and just resign. Get out of here. We don't want you anymore to leave. I mean, that's the kind of stuff we got to have. And so from that aspect of it, I was impressed with Pete Hegseth. I was impressed with President Trump when he was talking to all the generals and stuff like that. Maybe this is the start of it. I don't know, but I mean, I agree 100% with what you're saying. You're right all the way along, but so far they have just been ignoring us, and it's really, really frustrating to me. I sometimes I just want to throw up my hands. I just want to let you know that. So.
Well, we keep banging on their door, and I'll tell you, I don't know whether we're ever going to know that they come to understand this until at some point in time. the courts are cleaned up, and then we see what we're left with. And until then, we're not going to know, unless in this paper we did offer that we would be willing, if commissioned to do so, to write textbooks for grades K through 12, and referred that, of course, to National Liberty Alliance, because this is coming in from the perspective of the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. And it is National Liberty Alliance that sponsors that Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, as far as putting forward the necessary funding in order to file papers and do the work that we're doing. So again, by God's mercy, this can come through, and we don't really know what God's will is on this. We do see a movement. I am convinced from watching lately what's been going on, and I've been kind of seeing this for a long time, and when Charlie was killed, I mean, at that point, it became very obvious to me that there is an awakening back and movement back to Christianity. That I see, and anybody who's studying the Bible, particularly looking at the Word, particularly looking at the end times, God speaks of the early rain and the latter rain. And the early rain is when the disciples were given all that power and authority to go out and bring the message of salvation to the entire world. It was done back then in the entire world and continued to this day to the entire world. And so that's been going out. And God refers at the end of the world that there would be a latter rain, okay? And that latter rain is the pouring out of his word and people responding to him. And I'm kind of thinking that that's what we're seeing now. Yeah.
I'd like to put in a comment here. When we, the people, started being less involved in our courts, the lawyers were on their way in, and they see it as the lawyers are well-trained and that they can take care of things and give us the justice that we need. I see that we need to educate a lot of people, and those people are not going to get educated unless they're doing something, reading and learning. And until we get a whole bunch of people that stand up and volunteer for juries and go in like that, we can't be taking down the way the courts are right now, because there aren't enough people. Can you imagine how many cases there would be if they weren't sifting through and using that sifting process to restrain people from having court cases that really don't need to be presented? I kind of know what I'm trying to say, but
there would be a lot of relief in the courts if they would obey the law and return justice to the courts and allow the people to run their own court. From that perspective, then there'd be a lot less cases going in trying to sue the status quo, particularly the government or big corporations, of course.
Okay.
We're not going to be able to fix our courts through lawyers. It's the people that have to get up and fix the courts. So someone like Trump, he's not a lawyer. To get his attention to listen to what we're talking about and consider it and start digging into it, he'll see it, okay, because he's not a lawyer. It's easy for someone who is not a lawyer to see these things. The people who are lawyers, though, they've invested so much time in their thinking. They've been taught the lie of what the law is. They truly believe that law is civil law. Look at all their lives. Anybody that's alive today and practicing as a lawyer, they don't remember a time. This goes back to 1938. Okay, so they don't remember a time when the courts were free and independent, when we had common law courts. The only way they're going to learn about that is through history. Now, some of them may be woken up. They're far and in between. I know one lawyer particularly that understands the truth, and I'm sure there are other lawyers that realize the problem and do the best they can you know, to walk along the straight path. But it is an uphill battle, and we can only be successful in this if God makes us to be successful. You know, nothing happens outside of His will anyway. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, and you know, He's setting the stage right now. He's bringing peace to the world. It's God that's doing that. You know, Trump is just someone who's been raised up. The Bible is clear that God says He raises up powers and brings down powers. Okay? And anybody that studies the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, you read about a lot of people, kings and different people, who were not godly people, but did God's work and accomplished goals that God was determined to get accomplished. You know, He judged nations by war, okay? A war would come up against another nation, and that would be God's judgment upon that nation. You know, it's not the lawyer that's going to fix the courts. The court, they are the problems in the court. The 13th Amendment says it all. Now, we've spoke to this administration about the 13th Amendment. We've written about it in the book, The Government by Consent, which Trump and everyone in his administration has a copy of that. And it may be sitting on the shelves collecting dust. And that's why we mentioned, you know, it's time to take that book out and take a look to see what's going on. Because it's not what you know that you don't. It's not, yeah, how does it go? Let me go back and read the quote. Hang on a second, because it's at the beginning of this paper. And this is a quote by Mark Twain. "It ain't what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so." Okay? And that's the awakening point that we're trying to get these people to just consider that they might be taught a lie. It's hard for them to receive that. That's why it's going to take the people that are non-lawyers amongst them to be woken up and press the issue. And hopefully that's going to happen. We'll see what happens. You know, I don't have a crystal ball to know exactly what's going to happen. I do know certain things, no doubt in my mind, it's going to happen because I read my Bible. But God doesn't tell us everything. He doesn't tell us He's going to fix the courts, but He does tell us that in the end He's going to bring peace to the whole earth. The whole earth's going to sing out for joy and peace and safety at last.
Well, like you said, John, we got to be patient, but doggone it, I want patience right now. I'm not tired of this.
I know. I'm the same way to some degree. But I'm not going to get myself all frustrated. And, you know, I do get angry. It's a righteous anger, but we'll see. All right, let's see if we could take some questions. You got anything else, John?
That's all. I just remember that attitude is an attitude I choose to be happy. How's that sound?
There you go. You know, everything's a matter of mind, and reality is a state of mind.
Just remember, don't let them get you down. But it's frustrating. I'm just frustrated.
No, I agree with that. So.
I got to go to bed. I got to get up at 5:30, so I got to go to bed.
Okay, thanks, John.
Good night.
Okay, we're going to spend a little time having some questions. We'll probably go a little bit overboard tonight because we haven't really had people with questions. Kathy from Minnesota, you've been unmuted, so you got the mic.
All right. Thank you, John.
Let's try everybody to keep it short because we have 5 people, and I like to get everybody a couple of minutes at least before we close down. But Kathy, go ahead.
All right. I have an issue with my driver's license. I've had my Class A driver's license my whole life, my commercial driver's license. Class A means I can drive semis. My driver's license expired on my birthday, January 8th, 2025. So in December, the 27th of December, 2024, I went in to get my commercial driver's license renewed. And I had my enhanced driver's license, the one that allows you to fly on planes and go to Canada and Mexico without a passport.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave them all at the same time I renewed my enhanced commercial driver's license. I also had a name change and an address change. And I provided them with all of the documents they required for both of those things, the name change and the address change. They gave me my paper temporary license on December 27th. And then a couple months later, and that temporary license expired sometime in April, I think. In February, they sent me a letter saying, "We cannot process your driver's license card due to your address. You are not allowed to use a business address. You will need to come in and provide your residential address. Please revisit the nearest driver's services office to update your address." So, to make a long story short, I didn't get that accomplished. People that were helping me with this, I didn't get it accomplished before my temporary driver's license expired in April. I did go down there a couple of weeks. I have been pulled over. This has been extremely problematic, not having a current driver's license. I also couldn't go to an event that I wanted to, a Turning Point event after Charlie Kirk was shot. There was a Turning Point event, and it, in the brochure about it, it specifically said you needed to have a valid, government-issued ID. So, you know, when I tried to go to the Turning Point event, I went down to the DMV, and they absolutely would not give me. They closed at 5, and it was so they told me I had to start all over again with the name change. They said that there was a credit on my account, and they told me I'd have to bring in all my documents all over again. But they closed at 5. They gave me the address of a different location that was open till 6:30. Anyway, one guy that was representative that was overhearing this handed the woman a piece of paper, and it says, "Attention, CDL drivers. Updated federal documentation regulations begin March 20th, 2025. So this was about 3 months after I, renewed my driver's license in December. So on this piece of paper, it says acceptable proof of addresses. And all the things in the list I do not have, talks about pay stubs. I'm disabled. I'm not currently working. Talks about military. The only thing I have on this list is a vehicle title. It says vehicle title issued within the past year. Well, everything, including my vehicle title, has the address that I listed that's on my temporary license, the paper one. So all documents I have are at that address. So how can I possibly comply with this? While I was on hold with you, I was actually reading the statute, and it just, none of it makes any sense. What do you suggest I do about this? I don't have a current. It's really, really, really causing problems. I can't do banking. I can't do,
Not too long ago, I went into the county clerk to file a paper, and they gave me a hard time, refused to take my paper. I moved over to a teller, another teller. Another clerk, and they took my paper. They said, "Oh, just write this there, and that's fine." So one had more knowledge than the other. So it could be the people you're talking about don't really have the knowledge. You've got to get to someone deep inside. You want to make an appointment to literally go in and speak with someone of authority that understands these issues concerning this type of license and all the things.
Well, they gave me the paper that they sent to me stating that I'm not allowed to use a business address. There's a phone number on there, and they said I have to call that phone number.
You do what they tell you to do and take all the law and everything you put together. I'd write an affidavit, something in an affidavit form. You may not want to call it an affidavit, but maybe you do. And you want to put all your issues down on paper, and you want to list them, certain things, what the law is, put that all together, and then try to have a conversation with someone that is capable of having this conversation, because trust me, a lot of these people do not have the ability to really get down deep into this particular issue you're talking about. But the next step from there, I would try that first again. and bring everything with, plus the law and say, look, I really got to solve this problem. Now, if you don't get the problem solved, then the only other thing you could do is move into court. Now, remember, you're going into an equity court. You're going up against, you're not necessarily going up against the status quo. You're using the equity, which is statutes and regulations that you work on because that's what's involved with these things. And you've got all the law and everything you need. And I think you should be able to win this in court. And just be careful with your foreclause. And you know, I'd think this out a little bit because not only would I state clearly what I was looking for to have in my where foreclause, but also in the where foreclause or in the paperwork and also attached inside the where foreclause, you want to make the point that you will, if there's anything that I'm missing that I have to do, I'll accomplish that, and that you should be able to get into the court case. You shouldn't have to put in the where foreclause. But anyway, that you'll accomplish that if there's any, and then they have to tell you what that is at that point. But they should be able to tell you what that is anyway. So if you go and sit down with someone that's supposed to be knowledgeable, I definitely would report that conversation. And then I would write that conversation up point by point, and then the point by point of what you did to accomplish that point by point. And then when you go back to that person with the things that they said, if they deny it or anything at that point, you know, you want to not pull out the recording, you want to pull out the paper that could be turned into an affidavit if you have to go to court to lay out, well, this is what you said, these are the list of things, and these are my list of accomplishments, and this is what I've done, and this is what I got. They should be able to give it to you. So
when I call the phone number that they told me to call, the phone
number, I wouldn't call a phone number. I would go down to see these people. I may call the phone number to make an appointment to go see these people, but you want to go face-to-face, forget the phone.
Well, the letter came from the Driver and Vehicle Services Department. When I went into the place, where the License Bureau place, they told me I had to call that phone number.
You call,
so I can call
number.
That phone number and tell them I want to make an appointment and come in person.
Right. You have a sort of a complex problem, but you're being given conflicting information, and you really need to solve this problem. I'd like to come down and lay out all the things I have, all the things I've been told, and all the things I've done, and try to get this accomplished. And if there's something I'm missing, maybe you can tell me, so I can do that, and our next visit or our next conversation would be the completion of this problem. And again, if that doesn't work, then that's when you go to court. It's an equity court. And you shouldn't have a problem because they don't have a problem. It's not like you're going up against the status quo of this. You're just going up against a bureaucrat that doesn't give you the right information or enough information you need or conflicting information or whatever. At least in the court, the bottom line is for the court to accomplish the fact that the other side has to tell you, well, what is it that I'm missing if I can't get it? You know, what is it I'm missing? But anyway, that's what I would do. But I got
to
move.
Okay, well, I will do that, and then if I have to go to court, then I'll talk to you again next week or whatever.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, John.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll take our next person. Looks like Brett. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hey, good evening, John. My question is, I have a situation that just came up with my daughter. It's out of the blue, just going to court. So disorderly conduct, and I did. Being waived into adult court, so I was just wondering, I guess, how could I stop this or challenge?
How old is your daughter?
She will be 17 next month. She is the one, she has been, I've been dealing with a lot of legal issues with her for the last couple of years now.
What state in?
I'm sorry?
What state?
I'm in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Well, at 16, I think they can hold a liable for disorderly conduct. I'm sure there is an age limit. Every state has different, but they take pretty much, you know, 16 is something. What is the consequence? What's a fine, or what's the consequence?
Don't know. We there's a hearing on Wednesday, and the public defender wants to meet with her tomorrow. And it was a situation where she was attacked from behind, and so she's caught up in this mess with other people, and supposedly the one that attacked her was close to being an adult themselves when it happened.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you're probably going to get through this without a major problem, I think. You don't have much of a choice but to deal with a public defender. And in this situation, I would use that unless you get to a point where you say you can't use them. But if you can't use them, then you have to have knowledge of the court, due process, how system works, you know, and how things would work in that particular jurisdiction, you know, dealing with the disorderly conduct. But disorderly conduct, it's not going to be a jail sentence. And, I really think the worst might be if they found her guilty of that, which maybe she's not guilty because, you know, again, there seems to be others, you know, situations there. So, have to do some community service and maybe just put on probation for 6 months. Keep yourself clean. Don't get in any trouble and we're good. You know, I don't think it's going to be anything major.
They're pushing for their wherefore, or their clause at the end where I said they're looking for placement. I don't think it has to go through all of that, but.
You mean placement what? In another home or what? But placement for what?
Yeah, or placement with other, who the court deems necessary.
Well, that sounds kind of silly. I don't think they'll go that route because she's turning 17. At this point, I don't think that's going to happen. But until you go in and talk with the public defender and maybe get your first hearing, you'll know what's going on at that point. And if it's problematic, then you're going to have to make a strategy. But the strategy is going to have to be without a lawyer because the lawyer is going to play ball with the court. And to go up against these people, you have to have the knowledge and experience too, because experience plays an important factor when you go into court. You know, you live and you learn. The school of hard knocks is the best school. I really don't think this is going to be a problem for you. You remember, the courts also like to shake you up, especially someone that's young that's going in for disorderly conduct. They want to give the worst-case scenario to frighten them and shake them up. And if all goes well and they're not, resistant to the court and, they got a good behavior, I don't think it's going to go bad. I really don't. But you'll know after the first hearing, I think, if you talk with the public defender and have your first hearing, you're going to know where this is going to go at that point.
Does it make sense for her to write an affidavit or tell her story what happened?
Absolutely. Yes. You want to sit down and write, she wants to write everything, and you want to go through that over and over and over again, finding better words, trying to express it better. On the one hand, less is more, so you want to try to keep it minimum, but you want to cover everything. And that, doing that, you first of all, you just write it the way it is, and then you start massaging your paper, maybe finding different phrases, different ways of saying something, or whatever. But you want to make it clear. And then once that you perfect that affidavit, then you want to get it notarized, and you want to have a couple copies when you go into the court, and you're going to want to offer it into the court. The public defender, they're trained to tell the people to be quiet and they're usually very resistant against that in an affidavit. But you need to be pushy on that if they try to resist that and say, no, I think it's important that this judge understands what took place. And if you have a witness or two that was there that could do an affidavit, two or three affidavits, the affidavits rule the court. Remember, the other side has to come in with an affidavit to rebut it. And if nobody rebuts that affidavit, then that affidavit stands as truth in the court of law. And if they, you'd win in the appeal process most likely if the judge went the opposite direction. But they don't like affidavits in court. They don't like to see affidavits in court. And lawyers just don't want that to be done. But see what happens. You definitely should push it through.
So to get it notarized, would her signature be notarized or would it be mine?
Yes, no. She has to come in to do the notary. Does she have a picture ID?
I know a school had a school ID.
Well,
not a state ID yet.
Okay, well, go into the. What I would do is do the affidavit either way, anyway. Okay. And go find usually a bank or someplace where you find someone who can notarize it, and explain the situation. Show them the ID you have, and if that ID isn't sufficient, maybe because you're the parent, somehow your signature could be put with her signature, and you could both sign it. Maybe, I'm sure there's a way around it. And if not, just produce the affidavit as it is without the signature and tell the judge you'd like to swear right here in the court on that affidavit because she doesn't have the proper identification to get notarized and they're not accepting me to be a joint situation, joint factory in this situation to be able to get this sworn statement on the record. You want this sworn statement on the record. Now, okay. The lawyer can do that, but you've got to be careful of the lawyer because, the lawyer is going to swear on your behalf. That's all hearsay. They hold it as being something, but it's just the protective mode that they use, okay? Because ultimately, in a true court of law, that's not going to stand up, because the lawyer's swearing on your behalf is hearsay, no matter how you go about it. Now,
okay,
the lawyer's office, there must be someone in the lawyer's office that's a notary because they need notaries all the time. I mean, it just makes sense that the secretary is going to be a notary. And that secretary should be able to notarize it.
Okay. So even as a minor, she can get...
She needs to make that sworn statement. If you can make a sworn statement, you should do an affidavit. Anybody else who can get, again, the more affidavits, the better it is.
Just one last question. If she does she have to speak to a public defender, or could she opt to have the public defender speak to me and I speak for her?
Well, you should be with her, and you should work together.
Right, which I will. They try to. Well, we have to deal with her, so they're always directing it at her as she gets frustrated. So,
right, I understand that she's still a kid. So, and you should tell the lawyer that's the way it is. And look at I'm going to answer maybe some of this stuff. She'll answer if she feels comfortable, and that's that.
Okay.
You need to have the conversation because you're the adult here. You're the parent.
Right.
So.
Okay. Thank you, John.
You got it. All right. We'll take our next caller here. Let's see. We'll click from here. Okay, Curtis, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
All right. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. What state are you from, Curtis?
Oh, I'm from Virginia. Long time no see, John. Been kind of blind and... I lost my eyesight about 9-10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
But I just restored a little bit of sight in one eye, and I had bought your books when they first come out 3 or 4 years ago. I think it was that long, and I just spent the last 3 or 4 days reading, scanning through the court book, and I got to tell you, that's like tops off my education just tremendously.
Let me ask you a question. What kind of problem do you have with your eyesight?
Actually, I think it was because of diabetes, but I had a whole crew of specialists at the VA, and they couldn't figure nothing out. They tortured me for like 2 years.
You need to go out on YouTube, okay, put in Dr. Berg, D-R-B-E-R-G, Dr. Berg, search him out, find his page, okay, and then start searching for things with the eyes. This guy has a lot of problems we have can be solved with vitamins and supplements, okay? So that's the key one. The other thing is, are you pre-diabetic or are you diabetic?
Well, I'm diabetic, and I did do the mineral thing. I've been doing it for a while, I picked it up with Dr. Wallach, I had to go do that completely, and that I didn't go back to the doctor until I got that solved, because I knew what the problem was, but the doctors had no clue. They couldn't understand.
But listen, the problem may be here, the symptom may be here, but the problem may be over there. That's why Dr. Berg, he's an expert. I don't know that there's anybody more of an expert of vitamins and supplements than Dr. Berg. I mean, this guy, he has cured so many of my problems. I mean, it's just phenomenal, okay? My point is you also have to have a balance. Are you pre-diabetic? Or are you? You said you are diabetic. Oh,
I've been diabetic second two or whatever.
Okay, diabetes is curable, okay? You're not going to get cured with pharmaceuticals and going to a doctor. They're never going to cure any of those things. They'll give you something and it'll cause other problems, and then they'll give you something else and it'll cause more. It just goes on and on. That's the way it's all designed. They're designed to really make money and destroy and keep you sick, try to cover up the symptoms, and eventually the symptoms, you succumb to the symptoms. They used to come to the problem eventually because they're hiding the symptoms. The thing is what I'm trying to tell you, take the keywords, go in, and start looking on the two things, diabetes and also, with your eye problem. And just watch and listen to all of his videos he's got on them. Most of the stuff he does is short. Could be 5 minutes, it could be 15 minutes. Occasionally he does something long, but most of the stuff is short. There's also a requirement of a balance, okay? You may be able to solve a problem by doing something, maybe a particular vitamin, maybe some zinc and some copper, and make sure because that may be the things that you're deficient in. And so you do those things and you're finding it's not working. The reason why it's not working is because you have to be balanced out somewhere else. And this is what he does. He'll help you balance out the whole thing. Okay. A lot of it has to do with diet, it has to do with the supplements and vitamins and the balance of all those things. And I do believe that he could potentially make things better for you.
Well, I appreciate that. And I have done a lot of minerals and that, and that's what saved my eye.
There's a balance required. That may be a good thing, and I wouldn't stop that. I'm not saying that that's not the answer. The problem is, when people look at these things and find solutions, and they find the thing that's a solution, and all too often it doesn't work for most people. Why? Because they have an imbalance in other places, and if it's not repaired, those imbalances, it's not going to work there. Okay? So you have to have, let me put it this way, you have to have the basics to begin with. Okay? You're going to want to do intermittent fasting. Eating only once a day. You want to back off as much as you can on sugar and carbohydrates. And there's other things in diet that you can learn. But basically, that'll do a tremendous amount of help on you to begin with. Okay. Then you have to have the basics. You have to have your vitamin A. You got to have your B's. You got to have C. You got to have your D. You got to have even your E. And then you have to have your K1 and probably K2. You have to have your zinc and the copper. All these things are a requirement. If you have these medical problems, okay, you want to get to the basics and take all these things to balance you out. Now, it gets a little expensive to some degree, but you got to spend the money on these things. And I take a lot of pills every day. I literally take about 30, maybe even 40. I never even counted. Maybe 40 pills a day, first thing in the morning. I have some juice and just take it down. And I could run through them very quickly because I've been taking them for years. And all my medical problems, I was having some serious medical problems starting 10 years ago, and it's all gone now. I'm in pretty good health. Doesn't mean I'm not going to die tomorrow.
What I'm feeling now myself is I'm up quite a bit because I was taking one of those 96 minerals and vitamins and acids and, a lot. It just my body full of pH, watching that too, and watching that come up. And, boy, once it starts moving up, things just heal. Just once it reaches a certain level, it's just gone. And that's what's happened. It's taken me a long time to get back to where I am. But, I'm 73 now and a half. But I'm sorry?
You still have diabetes.
It's in control. But it's been real good.
You're still a diabetic. You have to solve that problem.
Yeah,
because if the diabetes is the cause, because diabetes will cause all kinds of problems, and it'll attack your eyesight. It could attack a lot of different things, and eyesight is one of the things that it'll attack. So you got to deal with that. Look, I strongly suggest to go out and start watching his videos and paying it. I sit down and take notes and for my own health.
That's Berg. Dr. Berg. Can you spell that again?
Berg, B-E-R-G, Dr. Berg.
B-I-R-D.
So B-E-R-G, Berg, B-E-R-G. B is in boy, E is in Edward, R is in Robert, G is in good. Berg.
Berg, okay.
And you find it on YouTube. Okay.
All right, I appreciate that. And I'll keep that in mind. Just want to let you know about your books, man. Those are awesome books. I'm really enjoying reading it. I've only been about 4 days into them, but I've read about a third of it already. Been so long since I've been able to really see enough to read, but I'm starting for.
Sounds good that you're getting some of your eyesight back, so that's good. You're on something, but look at your more things you need to focus in on too. And maybe the person who's helping you has all these things under control. But I'll tell you what, there is nobody that has more that is more of an expert than this guy, Dr. Berg. He is so focused in and deep in all these things. I have a lot of trust in this guy. I've been listening to him for goodness eight or 10 years, and like I said, all my medical problems have been solved.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that.
And I'm into my
I've been here for a long time, so that's where my problem comes from, alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
But GI, GI from the old time,
Yeah.
But I did it to myself, so it was just a responsibility thing. But I just want to let you know I really appreciate these books that you have written. Those are awesome pieces of work.
It's
extraordinary presentment. I think that's awesome. I'd like to be in on signing that one.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at, I find it very exciting. And so my research, I think anybody that starts looking into these things, they'll find it exciting. And the main reason they'll find it exciting is because it's empowering.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Knowledge is power.
Yeah.
You probably don't remember me, but I've been with you since.
I recognize your name. I remember.
Yeah, about 15 years, and I've been a small member now, but because, I hadn't lost my income and my business, and when you're blind and you can't hear, there ain't much you can do. And then we had the COVID and all this other crap going on and my age. It just knocks you out for a while, but I'm kind of coming back now and I'm learning how to walk again. But I enjoyed. I just wanted to make mention to the books, and I got here just in time to hear you read this presentment, and it just makes me feel so good because I haven't had a good fight since I've been back, since I was back in the Tea Party before Trump got elected, you know. And boy, that was the best thing we ever done was fight to get him elected.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And, I can see, you know, I've been kind of keeping up with you guys somewhat, and I'm glad to hear you still on the boy. I can't believe that, but they haven't solved that deal. That's murder, and they're calling him, you know, they're called being given medals and heroes. But I didn't know that. I've always been pissed off over that.
I'll be posting this extraordinary presentment on the front page in the next couple of days, and you should go in there. Everybody should go in there and look up those videos that we have, because it's unbelievable. You know, I heard today on the news that that there is no lineup between the ballistics. They're finally coming out with that, with this kid that killed, Charlie. That the ballistics isn't working. It's not lining up. That whole thing was insane. I mean, look, there's something wrong. You go watch these videos. There's something wrong. You know?
Yeah. I have. I haven't watched them on here, but I've been watching them on YouTube pretty much here lately. You know, it's just terrible. I was up on it to date back on the LaVoy issue. I remember watching all of that and bringing all that out with the Tea Party and with a few other important people that I knew back then. But Charlie Kirk is unbelievable.
I don't know if you were listening in at the time back then with LaVoy Finnegan, because we did indictments on that. We indicted a lot of people, and including the FBI and state police, and a lot of very, even Comey. Comey's in that indictment.
Part of that too. I do remember that.
Yeah, but we'll be attaching the indictment to this paper, this presentment. Anyway, go on. We've got one other person, and it's getting late, and I need
to finish up. Just wanted to say hi to guys. You all take care. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Okay, take our last caller here. Anonymous, what's your first name and your state?
Yes, good evening. My name's Elizabeth. I'm in Arizona. Can you hear me?
Yep.
All right.
Sounds familiar. I think we spoke before, maybe, but go ahead.
Yes, we have. Yeah, I'm one of your students. There's so many things. I've got a few questions, but those can be another time. I wanted to just mention, because I was listening to your, the letter that you've written, and I found it very strong and very direct and to the point. And I'm not I'm just giving you feedback that as one person, okay? The thing that I was concerned about was, because you were talking about mentioning like how things were not reported accurately about these men who were being glorified when they've actually murdered, LaVoy. So, and then you brought in other examples like Butler, and then also Charlie Kirk. And the thing is that, again, you know, they create these conspiracies and then they accuse us for being conspiracy theorists. And it's just, you know, crazy. And, but I was concerned because I understood why, and this is just a friendly, mild feedback, that's all. But that, you know, you did go into some detail about Butler and then also drew a parallel with the shooter at, in Utah with Kirk. But my concern was that by going into the detail about the bullets and stuff, it kind of took it off track from the strong, letter that you were writing about, you know, your view of Kash Patel and how he's, you know, what he did was very much misinformed. And so it's like, I don't know. I was just thinking if there was a way of mentioning these two very significant events and tying them into this other significant event, which hasn't been addressed at all, but without going into the bullet stuff and everything, because it, I was missing, I was like, I wanted to hear more about, you know, Kash Patel and maybe, you know.
We have forensic proof on Lavoie Finnegan. We have forensic proof on, on a second shooter for Charlie, okay?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Cases. And we have a lot of evidence, or some evidence anyway. We didn't get too much into the Charlie case, and we didn't get too much into, you know, the attempted assassination of
yes.
Trump. We didn't get too much into that, but we wanted to bring some points up. We threw some
videos
up there and get that.
Right.
So the focus of the paper was twofold, okay? First of all, we wanted to respond to Cash concerning, you know, those awards that he was giving out, and to the people who actually, those four individuals, okay, actually are the murderers. They're the ones that shot him,
set
it up, tried to take out that child in the car, and two other people in the car. There was three people. One of them was a child, and they tried to take them all out. They would not allow these people, and then. Then they, it's written up the way it looks, as if they were, you know, hostages, and they were saving the hostages. They were trying to kill everybody, okay?
Yeah.
It's clear on the evidence. The evidence we have is crystal clear. We did play that particular video, the forensic evidence, I think a couple of weeks ago.
I listened to it. I could probably watch it on there, but I without knowing it, I chewed all my nails off. I mean, it was very well done audio-wise, and I understand exactly what you're talking about.
That video wise too. I mean, look at that video on its own, and it's a forensic report. This is not just a video. It laid out specifics and facts, and it's a document. It's a documentary documented. You know, that video on its own is enough to get a conviction, to convict all those four people and give them the death penalty. That video alone, the evil that. And then with the rest of the evidence, I mean, we have 90, for goodness, I mean, I forget, I have so many, I think it was 90 documents, and I forget how many videos and how many audios we had. But but the thing was this, I wanted to do something concerning Lavoie Finnegan once I heard about him giving these, you know, awards out. And but at the same time, I wanted to take opportunity to talk about the law, because we need to fix our courts. And I've already spoken in other papers to Trump and to others and to Bondi concerning the law. But this was more focused in on some things that, you know, what they were taught and what the facts are. I mean, they're in civil law, we're in common law, let's call it natural law. So the laws of nature and of nature's God is the key difference, because these people, if you can just get through that point to these thick-skulled people, if they'll only listen for a few minutes and realize, okay, you're talking civil law, and civil law is law that comes from, you know, legislators. So it's legislative law, it's the law of the city, it's called municipality law. Okay, that's what you claim is the law of the land, which is a lie from hell, because let's just go back to our founding document, the foundation of all our documents, the foundation of law, which is the Declaration of Independence, which makes it clear the laws of nature and of nature's God has nothing to do with legislation, has nothing to do with man. So if we can just wake them up to that one point, to see that one contradiction, at that point they may say, well, maybe I should look a little more into this. But they also, you see, the other problem is greed, okay? Greed is a big problem. Lawyers are greedy. That's my any lawyer. I really feel that with every lawyer I ever met. It's greed. They're into the money, and they don't care whether they win or lose. They just want to make as much money as they can, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a few lawyers that are not necessarily like that, that have a conscience. But the bottom line is that's the problem that will constantly take them away. And the New World Order knows that the minions that created the minions of the New World Order, you know, the New World Order that created the minions, shall I say, you know, they know that, and that's a big thing to pull people along. You give them fake law, and use that fake law to make a lot of money, and make it simple for them. because most lawyers are pretty simple. They always say the same thing. It's they have nothing new, you know, nothing new. And I've been in this for 15 years now, and I'm telling you, there's nothing. These guys are morons, absolute morons. They're not thinkers, but they just regurgitate things, and they're all regurgitating the same thing. Of course, once in a while, you know, get someone who's a thinker and takes it from a different perspective. But most of them are morons. They really are.
Just like mainstream media. Mainstream media is the same. They all say the same thing. It all comes from the same place. They do what they report what they're told. And, you know, they've had videos where they butt them up against each other, like 10 of them, and they've all said almost verbatim the same thing that same night. And so, you know, it's the betrayal, you know, it's this painful experience of betrayal is violent, you know, in and of itself. But I guess, so at least you'll be filing this, and then it'll be there down the road, you know, if they don't do anything or, you know, I mean.
We're not going to stop pushing this. Every opportunity I have to be able to write another paper to add to this, then we'll write another paper and add to this. And but again, you know, all we need is a few non-lawyers, because look at lawyers are not, they're hard to turn. It's almost impossible. I don't want to say it's impossible, but it's very difficult. But these seem like decent people. But the bottom line is there are some people who are not lawyers, and those are the ones that we want to get to, because you see, a non-lawyer is able to see this a lot more faster and clearer than a person who's a lawyer, because they have a mindset and they're already correcting your error in their minds. Ah, this is crazy. These people, I can't listen no more. They just don't want to. They've been trained not to hear too, you know. But anyway, look at we got to go. I got one of the person.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll be around. Yeah. Take care.
Talk to you later then. All right, we'll take our last caller. Only got a couple of minutes, really got to go. But Robert from Texas, you got the mic. Robert, you got the mic. I don't know if you're muted on your side. We're not hearing anything.
Oh, thank you, John, for your excitement about laws of nature and nature's God. I'd like to make the laws of nature, nature's God, even more visceral. And if we go to this, maybe they will understand. And that is the first law of nature. And that is the ability to protect yourself. And that's with whatever you got. That's your lips, that's your fists, that's your teeth, you know, your feet, whatever. So they got to understand the first law of nature, and that's the right to defend yourself. And they're not allowing us to do that, and that is wrong. You know, that's like tying your hands behind your back and trying to exercise your first law of nature, that to defend your life, and you can't do it when you're handcuffed. Anyway, that's all I got to say. I'm going to hang up and listen.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Robert. But we've come to the end of our program. It's goodness, we've been 37 minutes over, and I got to go. So, all right. Thanks, everyone, for coming, and hopefully we'll see you next Monday. And for those interested, hopefully you are, come to our Bible studies on Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, right here in this room. Okay. Good night, everybody.